Looking to step up your Mother's Day flowers? The Home Depot has an idea. Let Mom's Green Thumb do some digging with colorful flowers, pots, and premium soils to bring out the most in her patios, walkways, and gardens. Right now, get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 for strong, healthy, vibrant plants, indoors and outside. Shop our wide selection online and pick up your order in-store and give Mom the gift of a beautiful garden. Get Vigoro Potting Soil just $8.97 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. See homedepot.com/delivery for details.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 18 years from tonight, Grant Gill will become a comedy legend when he totally kills it at his improv class's graduation performance. Knees will be slapped. Hilarity will ensue. That's why he's already keeping himself in shape and razor sharp today with wellness tips and tools from AARP to help make sure his health lives as long as he does. Because the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/healthyliving.
And now, join Kevin Hart as he dives into the minds of some of your favorite celebrities. This is Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
Oh my. I want to start off by just saying welcome, world. Welcome. Why am I welcoming you? I'm welcoming you because I'm excited. I'm excited because it's an all-new episode of Gold Mines, and you know what we do here. We get inside the minds of amazing people. And that makes me excited. It makes me excited when I get to talk to people, when I get to learn more about people, people that simply just fascinate me, that have amazing stories that I think will also fascinate you. That's what Gold Mines is about. It's about getting gold from the minds of people that I feel have mind at the highest level. See that? See what I did there? That was a play on the play on words right there. That's what that was. Ladies and gentlemen, I am very, very excited about today's guest. I want to welcome Melissa Etheridge to Gold Mines. Hello, Melissa.
Oh, hello, Kevin.
You know what, Melissa? I can't just welcome you, and I can't do it without going down your amazing accolades, because there are so many. So let's give you the proper intro, please. First and foremost, guys, legendary singer, songwriter. You do not throw the word legendary out there. You only give it to those that deserve it. Melissa definitely does. And you may say, Kevin, if you're not sure why, well, I'm going to tell you why. She is a two-time Grammy Award winner and an Academy Award winner, and she's sold over, if I had a drum roll, this is when I would use it. Gotta get a drum roll. Over 25 million records worldwide. That is not a number to be shy about. Melissa, congrats on all of the amazing success that you've had. I mean, you know, I don't know where to start, but here's what I do love, right? I love that you don't know me and I don't know you. And in a conversation where there's no prep, that means that we really get to leave with a good understanding of one another. And that's what excites me the most about doing this podcast. In this case, the little that I do know, of course, is about your success. I know your accolades. I'm aware of your documentary, and we'll get into that you have coming out, and the reason behind it. I'm aware of some things in your story. But I want to start off in the beginning, right? I want to start off from you, Kansas City. This is where you were from. You were born and raised. I want to know, like, why singing? Why songwriting? Like, how did you grow to love the business of, and, you know, were you introduced? Was it a discovery? Talk to me about the beginning stages and, you know, you making a decision to devote your life and time to this.
Yeah, it's funny because my wife and I were talking just before this. She's back home in L.A., and I told her, I said, you know, it's funny. I've met a lot of people in my life, and I've never met Kevin Hart. And my family is a huge fan of yours.
Oh, my God.
I've got teenage kids, and we're just – so it's really a pleasure to get to know you like this. I love that you said that I don't know – I know you and your career and what, you know, is known. So this is great. So let me introduce myself. I was born in Leavenworth, Kansas in 1961. Mm. So I was born in the middle of that gorgeous musical soup of the 60s and the 70s. That was my childhood, was this incredible music that was coming through on shows like The Ed Sullivan Show and the nighttime shows and these things that would come. And the thing that I loved in Kansas City, there was one radio station, WHB, on an AM radio station, and it played everything. It played country music, it played pop music, it played soul music and R&B and Motown. I could hear a Tammy Wynette song, and I could hear a Marvin Gaye song, and I could hear a Led Zeppelin song, you know. And to me, all of that music was one type of music. I never divided it up. And when I was very young, I remember wanting to play the guitar, and just because I saw it, you know, I saw it and heard it, and I just loved it. And I played the badminton rackets until my father brought home a guitar, and I started taking lessons. I started writing songs.
How young?
10.
Wow.
I was 10. Yeah. I was 8 when I started taking lessons, and then started writing songs when I was about 10. And then when I was 11 and 12, I was in this talent show that became a variety show. It was a weird thing they did in the early 70s. And it was like, you know, acrobats and dancers and singers and things. And we'd go around and we'd play in the old folks' homes and the prisons and stuff. And from there, I found a band that were older than me. I was about 13, 14. And they were playing in bars. And for some reason, I got to go with my father and play in these bands at 13 and 14 when I was very young. And I started playing cover tunes, country, and, you know, these 70s music, you know, that was everything from, you know, Bob Seger to, you know, Aretha Franklin to, you know, Conway Twitty. We played all kinds of stuff. And I grew up in that. And then I got better and better, went to Berklee College of Music for a minute, for a couple of weeks, and then, but just started playing in bars. Moved out to California in 1982 because I felt like, because no one's going to come find me in Kansas. So I moved out there and
21 years old.
21. Yes. When I was 21 years old.
Okay.
So 21, I move out there. I find out real quickly that you don't get work in LA because there's another 3 million people trying to become famous, doing the same thing. So there's no money to be made. So I also was discovering that I was a lesbian. And so I found myself in the gay culture in the early 80s and started playing in women's bars. And eventually it took me 5 years of playing in these bars that I finally got a manager like in the regular straight music world, and he started bringing record companies down. And finally, Chris Blackwell, when I was 26 years old, Chris Blackwell of Island Records, he signed Bob Marley, U2, just huge guy.
He
sees me, and after all these other record companies had seen me, and they're seeing me in a women's bar, so I'm imagining that's probably a factor of maybe why they decided not to sign me. I don't know, but he just walks in, hears 4 songs, and as he would tell it, he goes, "I don't know why anybody else hadn't signed you, so I signed you," and my first record came out in 1988.
You know, Melissa, what I love about what you just said is, you know, that success is no accident. Right. I'm a firm believer that things happen the way they're supposed to happen. And what's most intriguing about what you just broke down is, you know, the early introduction to music, but the follow through. Right. You're talking about the age 8 and then 10, 8 being lessons, 10, you productively like pursuing this thing with a passion and to the point where you even took your pen and started to put your pen to the page. As you talk about, like, you know, the years of, you know, the years that just continued to go by, and you fast forward to Los Angeles, what's the craziest thing is, like, it's all about the journey for me. I love hearing about the journey. I love hearing about hardships, struggles, the things that you had to overcome, and ultimately that landed you in a place to, you know, of success. For you, when you're talking about coming to Los Angeles, I don't want you to skip past what some of those hardship moments were, right? Because it's like, you know, I think that's very important for people that are Melissa Etheridge fans that are listening. Like, you know, that jump there, and when you go and say, well, look, I quickly learned that everybody was trying to become famous. Everybody wanted to sing. And what did that mean? Like, were there moments where you felt like your passion for this thing were halted, or was the real life and, you know, the obstacles of getting a real job, paying rent? Like, talk to me a little bit about that and that realization. What did it do for you?
Wow. Well, as I look back, it is, it becomes very clear to me that, you know, it's always been about the journey. It is never, of all the things that you listed, you know, the Grammys and the car, there's not an end to any of this. It's always been about the journey. And that's what the dream was when I was very young. You know, that was the dream. Oh, I want to have that journey. I want to be a rock star, this thing, this pop star, this thing that I spend so much time admiring. I want to be that. And as I went along, you know, sure, there were obstacles. My mother didn't want me to play in those bars at 12 and 13. And my mother was very, she was a very intelligent lady. She was the Hidden Figures type woman that was super smart and doing all the computers and programming them. And then the men were taking all the credit and the money. And, you know, so she was very bitter.
Such a great example, by the way, the Hidden Figures, the hidden figures metaphor. Such a good one. Okay.
Very much that. And she you know, worried about me, and we were very distant. She was, you know, just that sort of thing. So growing up with this want, any of us who have desired to be on a stage and have and make people laugh and sing and bring them that, it comes from a need for something to be filled here. And, you know, now that I'm in my 60s, I realize that it's up to me to fill that there, that a billion other people can't do it. But that drive of wanting to create music. I used to, when I was 12 and 13, I'd sing songs for, you know, my friends, and they'd all cry, and I'd love it. I was like, oh, you know, it's feeling. And so that was driving me, along with this dream of, oh, I'll become rich and famous, then I won't have any problems at all, you know, which is not true. But, and so as I went, I didn't ever feel like they were failures. I felt like they were just choices that I made.
Ah, I love this. Thank you for listening to this episode of Gold Mines with Kevin Hart. You can catch the rest of this episode exclusively on the SiriusXM app. We'll see you next week for a full episode of Gold Mines with Kevin Hart.
Gold Mines with Kevin Hart is a SiriusXM and Laugh Out Loud radio production. Executive produced by Kevin Hart, Ty Randolph, Mike Stein, Brian Smiley, Eric Eddings, and Eric Weil. Produced by Danny Sellers and Leslie Guam, and engineered by Danny Sellers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Meet the next generation of podcast stars with SiriusXM's Listen Next program, presented by State Farm. As part of their mission to help voices be heard, State Farm teamed up with SiriusXM to uplift diverse and emerging creators. Tune in to Stars and Stars with Issa as host Issa Nakazawa dives into birth charts of her celeb guests. This is just the start of a new wave of podcasting. Visit statefarm.com to find out how we can help prepare for your future. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.